This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 8th day of April, 2021, we're going to be doing a sweep of the out-of-town scoreboard. See what turned into a strange and wild day of baseball where we saw something that we haven't seen since last October. And we saw another team get off the mat in a big way. And we also are bringing aboard a guest, Mr. Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds, whose team just happens to be, as of this recording, the best team in baseball. You can follow us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you're staying at home as we're heading home. We're in the home stretch. We can beat this thing. Just don't be stupid. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, like, oh, let's pick one at random, Locked On Reds with Jeff Carr. You can follow us on Twitter and at Instagram at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal, Sully. You can follow me on Twitter at Sully Baseball. And on Instagram, I'm at Sully Baseball Podcast. So, as I mentioned, I'm bringing someone aboard to talk about his team and to also just chat a little bit about the games that have been going on. He is the host of the Locked On podcast following the best team in baseball for 2021 as of early April. Jeff Carr, how are you?
Man, like the city of Cincinnati, Sully, I am just absolutely busting. Look, it's not even 10% way through the season, but we are having fun. And we haven't said that about this team in quite some time.
And if I'm not mistaken, you guys made the postseason last year.
Yeah, but then there was that caveat of what happened after we made the postseason.
That's true. That's true. But there's a reason I wanted to have you on, other than the fact that you are apparently available now. you didn't hesitate that long when I asked you to appear on the show. And that is, I was taking a look at the run differential, because it's early in the season. And sometimes something like run differential can be completely thrown out of whack by one single game. You know, one lousy start can make someone's ERA go to hell and could make the run differential look insane. And what struck me was I was looking at Oakland's run differential, which even with their victory that they had today, they had a walk-off extra inning victory against Los Angeles. The run differential right now, after seven games, is negative 36. That's more than negative five runs a game, which shows that not only are they losing, but they're getting their butts handed to them. And I was looking around and said, I wonder if any other team is winning at a positive run differential along those lines. And I was quite stunned to see that it was the Cincinnati Reds who, as of this recording, have the best run differential in all of Major League Baseball. And lest we forget, they started the season with a loss to St. Louis. And ever since then, they've not just been winning, they've been bludgeoning the opponents.
It's been phenomenal because this team in 2020, which is largely the same team that's on the field right now, save for rookie Jonathan India and a couple of occasional rookie appearances from Tyler Stevenson, they averaged a sneeze over four runs a game last right. year. And yeah. and now in these first six games, they haven't scored less than five. Right. And it's hilarious to see every single at bat seems to end in some sort of line drive or some sort of ground ball that has beaten the shift or just happens to fall where they ain't. And hopefully it's not all of the luck that they're going to have all year long, but it's just been building so much, especially these last two games. The last two games combined, they beat the Pirates 25-5.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's insane. On Wednesday afternoon, the Reds defeated the Pirates 11-4. And folks, that score is misleading. It wasn't that close. 11-4 was a misleading score, because the Pirates scored all of their runs in the ninth inning when the Reds were basically just chucking the ball right down the center of the plate. They win 14-1 on Tuesday against, now granted, these are against Pittsburgh, who was fielding a minor league team,
right?
But they beat St. Louis 12-1. I mean, right. St. Louis was the team that I thought was going to win the division. I thought they were going to win the division handily, and they beat St. Louis 12-1 and 9-6 after the 11-6 loss. Even their loss, they piled up six runs, and they got a win out of the bullpen from friend of the podcast, Sean Doolittle. Maybe it's Sean. Maybe Sean's a good luck charm, and he showed up to Oakland in 2012 when they were floundering, and then they went on a winning streak the minute he arrived, and he was he brought his winning over to Washington. Now he's bringing it over to Cincy. Man, I'm going to credit Sean Doolittle. That's what I'm going to do.
I think the force is with him. Yeah. I really do. Yeah. There's something about his presence on the team. And then also, I mean, just a couple of guys in the lineup that have been absolute breaths of fresh air. And one of them was a guy that was there last year in Nick Castellanos. He has been nothing short of phenomenal, hitting second in the lineup every day. But then, and I mentioned it before, rookie Jonathan India came out of nowhere this spring training. I was even looking at him like, all right, this is kind of a make or break year for his prospect resume. And then all of a sudden he forces his way into the conversation with just amazing play. And he has continued to do so. He's had a hit in every single game this season.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of these parallel universe things. If I said to you, okay, Jeff, the Reds finally in their long history, finally have a Cy Young Award winner, and he is going to walk.
Yep.
And in the first week of the games, of the first in their first six games, the first start is going to include Luis Castillo getting absolutely bombed, letting up eight earned runs in 3 1/3 innings and being pulled in the fourth. And Joey Votto, at least going in today's game, was going to have an on-base percentage of .182. You would say, oh man, this is going to be a rough first week of the season. And lo and behold, here we are, that they're toying with their opponents right now.
It's and the phenomenal part about it, like even, and this is a microcosm of just one game, but it's spread out for the first six for the Reds, has been the bottom of the order, including India, but also Nixon Zell and Tucker Barnhart, like in the 14-1 win over the Pirates on Tuesday. I about said Friday, Tuesday. I forget what day it is. On Tuesday night, those three guys went 9-for-12.
Yeah.
In fact, in that game, the 14-1 win, Eugenio Suarez had a golden sombrero. I mean,
he's been terrible so far. Yeah.
The main producers in the lineup have not been the main producers in the lineup, and they're still scoring at an enormous clip.
And let's talk about one of the players who was imported from the other side of Ohio, and that was Naquin, who the other day, put up some big time numbers the other day. His fourth home run was this afternoon. He already has for the season, I mean, he already has 13 runs batted in. I know we're not supposed to look at runs batted in, but it's showing that there's production happening there. His OPS, granted, a minute sample size, is over 1.3. I mean, you're having him at the top of the order, and Castellanos. I'm half Italian, and I stumble over a name like that. But you know, he's continuing to produce like crazy. And you know, we poked fun at Votto's rough start, but you know, today he got on base a couple of times and he wound up scoring a couple of runs. Moustakas got on base three times. Senzel's got on base three times today. India mm-hmm. drove in three runs. Farmer drove in a pair of runs. And Stevenson hit a homer.
It was absolutely.
And Aquino hit a homer off the bench.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you start, you were talking about Tyler Naquin. And when you say these numbers of four homers, 13 RBIs in the early going of the season, mm-hmm. you're thinking, well, he's hitting in the middle of the order. He's doing it out of the leadoff spot. And in fact, so today he hit a leadoff home run. Yesterday he hit a leadoff home run. The last time that happened for the Reds in back-to-back days was back in 1984 when Eddie Milner did it. There's just all these random numbers being and then the 14-1 game.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Eddie Milner.
Yes, yes, R.I.P. And on that 14-1 win, he had seven RBIs in that one game, the most since Scooter Gennett hit four homers 4 years ago.
I almost said rest in peace, Scooter Gennett, but no.
He's still very much alive.
He's still very much. He's still with us. He is still with us. Now look at, and again, this is not my first year following baseball. I understand, like a few years ago, the Florida Marlins jumped out of the gate. I think it was in 2009 or 2008. They jumped out of the gate looking like world beaters because they played a dreadful Nationals team 8 out of the first 12 games. And they looked like, oh my God, is this a Marlins year? And the answer was no. I get it. Last year, in 2019 when the Seattle Mariners looked like world beaters out of the gate, and then they wound up finishing 20 games under 500. I get it, everybody. And we've also seen over the last few days how quickly the fates can turn. I mean, the Red Sox got swept by Baltimore in the first weekend of the season, and they didn't even look like they knew how to play baseball. I mean, it was like it was rancid. And then they go to play Tampa and they won all the games, and now they actually have a positive run differential. They're already back to 500 with a positive run differential. The Braves entered today 0-4 and they won a couple of games, both dramatic games, including a Pablo Sandoval home run. But of course these things can turn around. But where this is interesting is the fact that the Reds have been beating the team so badly, and that, you know, today notwithstanding, because the St. Louis got a very good start by Flaherty against Miami, there are some question marks looming about the St. Louis rotation that could be long-term question marks if some of the health issues don't, you know, if they don't right the ship with some of their health issues, which could lead to a team like the Reds to hang around. You know what I mean? It may not take 95 wins to win the Central if the Cardinals pitching staff doesn't completely recover.
Right. If it's just Jack Flaherty and a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that I look at. I've been kind of squinting and trying to look at it sideways all off season, being like, okay, this is maybe how the Reds could slide into first place. I think that it's going to be a summer where the Reds are completely interesting all summer long. It's not going to be like 2016, 2017, 2018, where where most casual fans watch the Reds till about August. And they're like, all right, that's enough of that. We got football coming up. We can stop worrying about the Reds because they're not good enough to worry about. That's not going to happen this year. They're going to be in the thick of this race all year long. And don't get me wrong, as enthusiastic and as excited and as much as I love this start, I am firmly aware that there are still 156 games left. They still have lots to do. And there's still some question marks that they haven't, even though they've scored a ton of runs, they haven't really answered satisfactorily. How are they going to man shortstop? Because Eugenio Suarez at times has looked all right and at times has looked abysmal. And then on the pitching side of the equation, they got some really nice starts from Jeff Hoffman and Jose De Leon and Wade Miley. but we're not expecting that every time out. I'm not expecting Jose De Leon to go out there in every single start or appearance for that matter. I don't know that he's going to be in the rotation all year and come out and have that kind of a start where he gives up two solo homers in the first inning and then settles down and allows just three other base runners the entire game. I mean, that was a phenomenal start by him, given the fact that everyone thought the doors were getting blown off in the first. And then you've got Jeff Hoffman that was a throwaway from the Rockies. That's right. The Rockies threw away somebody. They didn't give away somebody. They threw away somebody. And here he comes to the Reds, and his first start, it almost looks as if the Rockies actually gave him up instead of threw him away. So I look at this and I say, it has been an amazing first week. Now the Reds go west. Now they've got Arizona and San Francisco, who San Francisco, I think the Reds and the Giants are on a very similar footing. The Giants are on the come up for sure. And the Arizona, while they may not be expected to do a lot in that just top heavy NL West, they're still a pretty solid team. So the Reds have got to play some good baseball on the road these next six games. And hopefully we're still talking about this level of excitement because, man, I love watching some baseball right now.
Well, let me tell you something. You're talking up a storm and you're giving us some real solid enthusiasm. And people love to hear that. And one place where you can hear that all the time is Locker Room. It's the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, insiders in real time about your favorite team or your sport. You've done a Locker Room, haven't you, Jeff?
I have. It's like the conference call you actually want to be on.
That's right. And you can find fans just like you on Locker Room. If you want to watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and if you want to react to big news or rumors, and you can hear from some of the Lockdown hosts like Jeff, and your pal Sully's going to be appearing on one pretty soon. Here's what you do. Download the free Locker Room app now and currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait for you to all be on the app, and I'll be sure to let you know once Locked On MLB, our new room, is live. So what you're going to do is you got to download the Locker Room app today. It's Locker Room. It's changing the way that we talk about sports. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Locked On Today. You can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you with the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Hey, Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds. I have something I need to ask you. One of the pitchers who, again, you know, super early in the season, but you've been getting a lot of good innings out of the bullpen from Carson Fulmer.
Yeah.
And Carson Fulmer, for those of us who have forgotten, was a first-round pick by Chicago in 2015. I had to look that up. And he was supposed to be like one of the next big ace starting pitchers. And injuries and ineffectiveness, it never turned out to work out that way. It ended with him in Chicago. I can't remember if he got traded or if he just, he was selected off of waivers. He was waived by the Tigers and then waived by the Pirates and waived by Baltimore. I mean, you talk about teams that you think may kind of sort of need a pitcher. And he somehow ended up with a cluttered baseball card and pitching in Cincinnati. And lo and behold, they're not starting him, but they're taking him out of the bullpen. And a handful of games into it, I wonder if this is a case, and I'm going to use an extreme case, someone like Andrew Miller, who was supposed to be a great stud starting pitcher, and he turned out to be, it never worked out for him as a starter, but he wound up being an incredibly effective reliever for Baltimore and the Yankees and and Cleveland. I wonder if the Reds may have stumbled across a guy who has first round stuff and may turn out to be a help in the bullpen.
He is a guy that I look at and I just point directly to Derek Johnson. Number one, Carson Fulmer actually went to Vanderbilt and played for Derek Johnson when he was the coach there. Mm-hmm. And so there was already that relationship that they had before he came to the Reds. But the Reds have been betting on all of these unnamed guys this offseason. The CNL Perez's, the Art Orens, the Hector Perez's, the Brandon Bailey's. I've had him on the podcast a couple of times. Unfortunately, he had to go through Tommy John this spring training, so we won't see him as Reds fans till next year. But there's all these guys that Derek Johnson sees something in them, and Carson Fulmer was a perfect example. They get him off waivers, and it was even right smack dab in the middle of the spring training. So he barely had a couple of appearances for the Reds in Cactus League action before the season started. And everyone was wondering, all right, well, he's probably going to start the year on the roster because they've got injuries to Sonny Gray and they got injuries to Michael Lorenzen. So he's got an opportunity. And he's really ran with that opportunity. Opening day, he comes in a mop-up role after Luis Castillo just really, he couldn't grip anything. I mean, it was 30 degrees outside with a wind chill of 20. I was sitting in right field, and by the end of the game, I thought I had toes. I wasn't sure. I got home, I found out that I did, so that was a good thing. But Carson Fulmer came in and just stopped the bleeding. And he pitched very well in that game. He's pitched very well in a couple of other middle relief appearances. So I think that he is a guy that even after Sonny Gray and Michael Lorenzen return, Sonny Gray is about 10 to 11 days away. Lorenzen doesn't quite have a timetable yet. Then I think that Fulmer can stick on because he's got the one thing that all of these lesser known named guys have in common. And that is he spins the crap out of the ball. And Derek Johnson just seems to love that.
Yeah. I mean, I always love stories like that. I love it when someone finds their talent. I mean, the greatest example of that, someone who finds their ability later in life, would be Dave Stewart, who bounced around as a spot starter, middle reliever for Los Angeles and Philadelphia and Texas before becoming a Cy Young contender and World Series hero with the A's and with a cameo with Toronto. I love stories where it's like, hey, do you know what? This guy wasn't picked in the first round because he stunk. You know, he has ability. Right. And not everyone bursts onto the scene like Fernando Valenzuela or Mike Trout, where right out of the gate, they're, you know, superstars. Sometimes it has to, things have to click. And a team like Cincinnati needs to take advantage of those sorts of players and those sorts of opportunities. I want to just ask a couple of things here. You know, they're going up against Arizona. We all know that this is having a Pittsburgh team that waved the white flag is a, you know, a good thing to pad your resume at the front. Arizona's a weird team. San Francisco's a weird team. Cleveland, they're playing all these weird teams like Cleveland, Arizona. But coming up, looking a little bit down the line, I think a test for Cincinnati, an early test, would be when they head off to St. Louis towards the end of the month. Because if, you know, St. Louis and Milwaukee were the two teams I think a lot of people thought were the leading contenders, and for good reason, to win the National League Central. And certainly we saw how Milwaukee has pitched against Chicago the last few days. They certainly have the arms to stick in the race. But I actually think that if the Reds can stay in first place by the 23rd of April, when they face St. Louis for that three-game series, I think that's going to be a big series, because I think that that will be an early test to show that their early run to first place was not just taking advantage of a lousy Pirate team, but this is actually a team that has images of an October dancing in their head.
Especially after what went down with the whole Castellanos and Jake Woodford and Yadier Molina thing. Yeah. This rivalry is going to be very interesting all season long. And especially that first series there in St. Louis is going to be very emotionally charged, a weekend series. And it starts a stretch of games that really, I mean, you're looking at a good, 9, 11 games that are really going to test the Reds after this stretch to begin the season against Pittsburgh, and maybe they can capitalize on Arizona, things like that. Then they got St. Louis, the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the White Sox all back to back to back. So they got to be ready to contend. Hopefully by that point, Sonny Gray is going to be healthy. He's been pitching at the alternate site in Louisville, AKA AAA Louisville. It's just AAA season right. hasn't started yet. But he's been warming up and getting ready. So I think that as an organization, they have that series earmarked that he's going to be ready for that series. And they may be able to kind of go 1-2 with Castillo and Sonny Gray at that point. It's going to be very important early on. Like you said, it's funny to scoreboard watch in April, but we're kind of that excited right now.
Well, you know what? Look, it is what it is, and it's important to look at the team and be able to say, okay, this is right out of the gate that it's easier to build upon something than it is to try to constantly be fixing it and popping the hood and trying to fix everything. You know, it's like, it's like making sure your car is running great instead of constantly trying to fix it and everything like that. And I got to tell you something, when my car isn't running great, I go to rockauto.com. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or an account login. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specification, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. Hey, you are saying that it might be a little too early to be betting on the Reds. I say it's never too early to be betting on the Reds. That's why you should go to Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You know, the Reds are playing red hot right now. Pun completely intended. And you can go to Bet Online and bet on those games as well as basketball and hockey. You can bet on awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code Locked On. You know, we're talking a little bit about fantasy baseball. Let's talk a little bit about Locked On Fantasy Baseball. You could be a waiver wire winner. Say that three times fast with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy baseball analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the best strategies and waiver wire pickups to win your fantasy baseball leagues. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Hey, we're here wrapping up with Jeff Carr from Locked On Reds. Hey, there are two pitchers who have had recent birthdays. Yesterday was one pitcher's birthday, and today was another pitcher's birthday. And these are two pitchers who I credit with declaring the end of the tyranny of the win stat in terms of our, well, how we judge the quality of a pitcher. Do you know who the two pitchers were?
Who you got?
Yesterday was Hall of Famer Burt Blyleven's birthday. Again, right. Say that five times fast. Burt Blyleven, who took forever to get into the Hall of Fame, despite being number five on the all-time strikeouts list, despite having one of the great, in terms of if you're into war for pitchers, he ranks 12th overall, and he ranks 14th overall in career innings pitched. He is one of the most devastating strikeouts of all time. Part of two World Series winners through a complete game victory against your Reds, I'm sorry, to clinch the 1979 pennant for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Say that five times fast. But despite this unbelievable resume that he had, it took him 14, count them, 14 ballots to get into the Hall of Fame. And I believe a big reason for that is that he came up short on the 300 win column. He finished with 287 wins over a 22-year career. And when he was up for the Hall of Fame back in 2009, I picked out between 1971 and 1987, every year, I just picked out two, one no decision and one loss. Not taking all the close games, because people are going to lose and win close games left and right. But the times that he pitched like 10 innings, or times he pitched a complete game, letting up only two runs. And I said, if he just won half of those, or these sample size of two, he would have just leapfrogged into 300 wins instantly. And he would have been in on the first ballot without changing any of his other stats. I mean, year in and year out, he would be throwing 300 innings some years. He would throw 25 complete games. He would be leading the league in strikeouts. The only reason he wasn't constantly leading the league in strikeouts is because he was in the American League along with Nolan Ryan. The fact of the matter is that he was a Cy Young, top 10 Cy Young award winner in the 70s, in the 80s, in the mid 80s, the late 80s, consistently being one of the best pitchers in baseball. And the only thing keeping him out for those 14 years was the fact that he didn't have 13 extra wins along the way. And I think people around that time, and when he got in 2011, I think people kind of woke up and said, are we putting too much weight on this whole wins thing? Like the in 1985, when he was 17-16, only one game above 500, but he led the league in innings pitched, games started, complete games, shutouts, strikeouts, and batters faced. Huh. I wonder if that was a good year or not he had that year. And it was his birthday yesterday. And I think the person who tipped the scales away from wins has his birthday today, and potentially a Hall of Famer himself, is Felix Hernandez. And Felix Hernandez, who has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 top 10 Cy Young finishes, including 4 in the top 5. The one year he won was in 2010, the year before Bert Blyleven got elected, where he led the league in virtually everything. If you like traditional stats, you got your ERA, your game started, your innings pitch, batter's face. If you like your more sabermetrics stats, he has those left and right. And he went 13-12. 13-12 for a Mariners team who oftentimes had someone batting under 200 in the cleanup spot. And it was basically a year of ideologies, because you had David Price and CC Sabathia and John Lester all had super high win totals. Sabathia was 21 winner, Price and Lester with 19 wins. Any other year, Felix Hernandez would have finished in fourth behind all those, because they said, well, you know, I was only one game above 500. And yet the voters said, no, he was the best pitcher. Wasn't his fault he plays in Seattle. And so I do believe the fact that Hernandez won the Cy Young Award with a 13-12 record began the mindset of, hey, let's look at things other than wins and losses, which led to Jacob DeGrom's resume bursting at the seams, and I think directly led to Bert Blyleven being elected to the Hall of Fame. So I wanted to end this section by saying happy birthday to King Felix, who very well may be in the Hall of Fame before all is said and done. And I hope you got a thank you letter from Bert Blyleven, who I think opened the floodgates. But hey, I wanted to end on a birthday note on some of my two favorite pitchers of all time. And if you don't love Bert Blyleven, you're wrong. And please look for the picture of him wearing his I Heart to Fart t-shirt, showing that the Hall of Famer always, always brings in the best players. And I bring in the best podcasters like Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds. Jeff, tell people where they can find your terrific podcast.
Sully, thanks for having me, sir. You can find the Locked On Reds podcast on the Odyssey app, Audacy, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jeff Carr with three Fs and follow the show at Locked On Reds.
And you can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Getting way too excited way too early with Jeff Carr. But hey, if the Reds completely, you know, flame out, at least I had you on for a positive episode of Locked On MLB. Thanks for joining the show so quickly today and impulsively, Jeff Carr. This has been Locked On MLB for the 8th day of April 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.